Welcome to Real Estate I Love It podcast. I'm Shelley Hoffman, real estate expert and community advisor. Join me and various guests who are expert in what they do, such as home inspectors, mortgage brokers, investors, wholesalers. There are so many aspects to our industry that most people are not aware of, and I'm here to help you learn about them. I'm an educator by trade, and this podcast is to educate you in the world of real estate. Hey everybody, it's Shelley Hoffman, and once again, I'm here with Christy, Rob, and Dave, and today's topic is going to focus on home inspections, and you know, we're in a crazy market, as Dave's going to talk about, and what tends to happen with home inspections in a seller's market. So we're lucky enough to have this expert with us today. How you doing, Dave?
Very good. How are y'all?
Doing well. So obviously, you know, Christy being an attorney, she's going to have some input, and, you know, we were talking with Rob about daughter and some things he's got going on, but can you start us off, give us just an overview, why home inspections are important, what people get out of them, and, you know, kind of how it's going overall in this market.
Sure. Well, prior to this market, home inspection is regardless always a vital component to the biggest purchase of most people's lives. For someone with trained eyes to be able to go through every system and component of the potential home and evaluate hundreds of items and things that the average person would not be aware of. Yeah, there's commonalities and obvious things that anybody can notice, but a deeper look into attic spaces, crawl spaces, electrical panels, testing of plumbing and heating systems, and looking for things that may not have been right from the very beginning are what we're hired to do. And pretty important to the safety and longevity of someone's stay in a home. And it's become very commonplace these days to just say, well, we're going to have to let that piece go because market's so contentious right now. Buyers are waiving the inspections and putting themselves into a position where they're paying anywhere from $20,000 to $60,000 more for this house to get the house because the sellers have all the power right now. And it's making for what will be a long-term problem of unknown problems in these homes once people settle in and start to live their lives. So it's a pretty scary situation. But you know, back to what I've been doing for almost 19 years now is providing that service ahead of time so that when there are potential problems, those items can be addressed, they can be negotiated, corrected, credited. Whatever steps the agent on the buyer side has to negotiate with the other side in regards to getting those items addressed so that prior to moving in, they have the peace of mind knowing that, you know, overall, the understanding of what is and what isn't going on in that home is something they're aware of. This process is often misunderstood by people who have never done it or just have a general knowledge and think that, well, they always ask me, did the home inspection pass or fail? And I've done thousands of inspections and I've never passed or failed any of them. I don't put a grade on the inspection. I simply present the findings that were present to me at that time. And the buyer ultimately, I guess, decides if it passes or fails. I've had homes where simplest little things, and for whatever reason, the buyers failed the inspection and decided they didn't want to move forward. Maybe they got cold feet or just decided it was more than they wanted to take on. On the flip side, I've had inspections where, it probably is close to being condemned and the buyers still want the house. So to them, it passed. So it really boils down to a person's comfort level and understanding the items that are presented and leads to another key point. The communication of that information is key in the report form and the report writing and the presentation and communication with the client, the ability to explain in detail what the problem is, what the potential problem could be, unknown budgeting for certain things and timeframes, and are all important aspects of the home inspection process. So long-winded answer to your question, but that's a general idea of what we do.
Well, and you know, obviously I'm one of the first people that meets with a client. You're second, Christy, you know, you come in at the end of it. But when we're walking through a home, especially first time home buyers, it's how much money is it going to cost them in the first 5 years? So we can negotiate the purchase price
It's that home inspection when you walk through that gives them an idea of how much cash out of pocket. And that sometimes decides, is it a house they can afford or not afford? They might be able to afford the mortgage, but can they afford the roof, the furnace, the air conditioner, the electric, all those components, right? And Christy can attest to, we're not seeing as many home inspections come through, right? Do you ever get involved in the negotiation? I meant to ask you this one other time, Christy, when we were talking. You know, sometimes we turn the report in. So Dave gives them the information. They look at us to kind of negotiate the information. Do they ever come to you on the attorney side and say, what do you guys think about this? Do you ever see the home inspections?
Once in a while we do. It really depends. It's not frequently. Usually we'll get, it's something where they want to negotiate where they could negotiate way back when, right? We would get the pages where it says, you know, you need to fix X, Y, and Z. So we could say, hey, seller, you got to fix X, Y, and Z. Home inspection report says this, because we don't necessarily want to give them the benefit of the full inspection report, because that's ours. We paid for it. But, you know, occasionally there will be, it tends to be either first-time home buyers or older folks who are kind of, you know, buying their first new home in 45 years. And, you know, I find it a lot of time that it's widows. You know, their husband took care of these types of things, and now they're trying to do this themselves, and they don't really know what to do. And to be honest, I don't know either. To Dave's point, it's not my choice to say this is a good risk or this is a bad risk. These are just your risks. That was a situation we had with one client recently, and looking through the report, I was looking through it and I was like, well, there's a lot of information here and I haven't read it cover to cover. She did. But either way, it's still, there wasn't really enough in there to give her a good idea of what she was looking at, right? Were these things serious, serious problems or weren't they? And you know, she didn't know. She hasn't done this type of thing, one, buy a house, and two, repair these types. So, you know, I was like, call your inspector, talk to them about, you know, kind of what Dave was just saying, what's this going to look like? Is this a real big thing? Is it going to fall apart tomorrow? Am I going to have a really big issue? And how much is this going to roughly cost to fix, do whatever? Just, you know, that kind of really big red flag, or it's up to you if you want to take that risk, but it should be fixed. And that would have been a nice thing, especially for somebody like her, to have on like a front cover page. Like, these are the big issues. The outlet's not grounded or something like that, which happens all the time in a lot of places, but these are your big items. And this is what it's going to look like as time goes on, or what it means to you. Like, your deck's not going to be fully supported. So you have 40 people on the deck jumping around, then it may break. I don't know. But it's definitely something that we sometimes get involved in, going back to folks to say, look, we need $1,000 credit, because it's roughly going to cost this. Sometimes people want full on, quotes, which right now is not possible. Nobody's waiting around for that to happen. But it's a long-winded answer again to say sometimes.
Well, Rob, you just experienced it, right? With your daughter, first time home buyer. Right.
Correct. Yep.
How did the home inspection go? You know, when you're thinking about her, and I know Dave did the home inspection, so I'm not sure, you know, if you guys had conversations or not, but
yeah, they, going into this market, they lost quite a few houses because of, you know, multiple offers and whatever. And, you know, they looked at it as, we're not going to get into a house that we can't get, you know, inspected. So, and this house was not on the market, so they went directly to the owner. So, but they, you know, they wanted the inspection just to see what were they getting into, anything major. And there wasn't really anything major, a couple of things. You know, they knew, because it was a 70-year-old house they were looking at, they knew there were going to be items. So they had the money set aside. They knew they weren't in a bidding situation, so the money they had set aside was, in fact, for the repairs. Had nothing to do, you know, the price wasn't going to be inflated. So it went really smoothly, you know, uncovered some things. You know, we've been in there now for about 8 days. They've had it, and we fixed quite a few of the items. So, you know, as first-time home buyers, I think it went as smooth as you could ever imagine. you know, and having multiple real estate transactions myself over the years, I never had one go that smooth. So
that was good.
Yeah.
Well, to Christy's point and, you know, going through, like you said, the report, I know that Dave does this. I'm sure a lot of other home inspectors do as well. Not all of them. But Christy, when you said it'd be nice if the front page said these are your key, you know, sometimes there are reports that say this is a safety issue, this is a structural concern, this is a maintenance issue, this is, you know, so again, as a first-time home buyer, the widow that you pointed out that maybe never dealt with it before, just to know what's maintenance, what's typically wrong with the house, and then where are, you know, your red flags. And like I said, Dave, I know you kind of do that, right? You break it up like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say, I'm not sure of everyone's reporting process and how it's pulled apart. But in general, they are isolated that way. However, within a safety component or safety list of items, an open ground or reverse polarity could be in red as a safety issue. Certainly doesn't hold the same weight as a structural deficiency where the house could cave in unless it's supported. They're both going to be in red. I will flag, literally put a flag icon with the foundation note. But more importantly than any of the cues on the report is the conversation that comes after the inspection. And I don't know how often or to what degree that's done with other inspectors, but it's the key piece. Well, it's one of the key pieces to what I do, to sit and help sift out that material and see what's left in the screen when you're done, and all the stuff that's pretty basic and not vital falls through the screen, and the few things that remain on top are the structural concern, the electrical issues, and maybe something else where we found an active leak or you know, something of that nature. So no report is going to, any that I've ever seen and any one that I've ever done, to just hand to a client, say, there you go, is never a good idea. It still needs to be explained because there's a lot of information in there. People are going to get overwhelmed. They're already on edge, especially when they're first time buyers or 40 years since their last house bought or whatever. I mean, you're spending $100 to $1 million. You know, you're going to have a lot to take in and process. So helping them navigate through that is vital. And that's something that we definitely spend a lot of time on at the end.
The question I have for you, Dave, and I'm sure everyone else can help. I typically see clients very, very early in the process, you know, before they've even started looking, before they got a, you know, anyone helping them, they come to me, you know, how much can I afford? You know, what impact will it have? So this is very early on. They haven't picked any professional to help them. The question I've always had, and having my own personal real estate dealings over the last 40 years, is A, Dave, is there some central licensing? Do you have to be licensed? And two, is there a common methodology that all inspectors have to use? Because on my own personal dealings, I've had an inspector who, potential buyers for my house, the inspector came in and spent 6 hours at my house looking at, you know, kitchen knobs, were they loose? I mean, just ridiculous things. And then I've had buyers of my last house where the inspector came in and spent 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And so the answer here, some type of, I mean, and I think this is a frustrating thing for people looking at houses, is there's no really set, you know, who do I get in, you know, who do I contact to inspect it?
Yeah. So it's a great question. And it, and the answer is the initial answer is yes. That's what's scary about it. There are standards of practice that all inspectors in New York State are to follow. And they're actually in the report that your daughter has. Each section breaks down what is and what isn't involved in each section that we do. Ironically, New York State doesn't require a whole lot of a home inspector. I got involved before New York State did and was taught the standards of practice through ASHI, which is a organization for home inspectors. And the training was a lot more rigid and, of course, me just starting out, you tell it to me, I'm going to do it. And that's how I was trained. And I go well beyond the provisions of the state in terms of requirements. And having done so many for so long, it falls into a common pattern that the typical home inspection is about 3 hours. I've heard a couple of times recently about these 6, 7, 8 hour inspections, which is absolutely ridiculous. And anytime it's less than 2.5 or 2 hours at best, I mean, once in a while, I might squeeze out a two and a half hours. My radar goes up. You're missing stuff. It just takes a certain amount of time to go through the process that we are required to do. So it is frustrating because I hear it a lot. And I don't know at what point any one of those people decides this is how I'm going to design my process and do what I do, and ends up with a 30-minute walkthrough and a written report for $250, or 7 hours later, that price or a little more, because that's the other component when I'm sure we can talk about pricing. I don't know, Rob. It's very frustrating, and I can sense that for you, it definitely has left you scratching your head. I scratch my head as well. I wish I had an answer. It's frustrating.
That's basically
because we all are licensed by New York State. We all are required to do 24 CEUs every 2 years for continuing ed. And, you know, I guess once you're done with that, it's like, hey, got your own business. You do what you want. And a lot of these guys get real excited about becoming micromanagers of every little detail, and pointing out loose knobs on a cupboard is something they feel excited about sharing with their client. I don't know. I mean, the clients get frustrated with that as well. It's not just the sellers, but, you know, you've got to be able to navigate through all of that and extract information enough that shows that you're aware of what's going on, but not being ridiculous about it. And yet, because their main concern is the house going to cave in? Am I going to be safe? That's the bottom line. There's, even with my inspections, I filter out that, you know, when you pour the report through the strainer, 80% or more of it's going to be minutia. It's minimal information. It's basic stuff. They shake their head and they move on. It's where we have to slow down and look at a couple of main items that could potentially be problems or are problems and need to be dealt with before you necessarily sign off or say we're all set. You want to look at these items. That happens. And then there's those situations where there's just a multitude of too many things. And at a certain point, the buyer checks out and that's it, no matter what you say. And but that's why you're spending the money to do this, because you're coming in looking at location and what you're going to paint the walls and how cute the baby's room is going to look, and can't wait to get on this back deck. And, you know, it's all emotion. I have no emotion when it comes to doing a home inspection. It's just facts. Right. Yeah.
Now, my next question, I'm sorry for hogging all the questions here, but, I'm not in the real estate business, but I guess Christy and Shelley would be best to answer this, is that it seems like the frustrating part behind the home inspection that I've noticed personally over the last 35 years that I've been various homeowner and transactions, and I see it with clients. It seems like the home inspection has gotten to become a negotiation tool. Instead of just, here is the house, this is what's wrong with it, it seems like potential buyers are using it to go back to the owner to negotiate a better price. Am I just being paranoid, or is that
no? I don't think so. And I'll start, Christy, and then send it to you, since it starts with us and our conversations. You know, as a person who bought and sold real estate prior to getting my license, I know that I was married to somebody that looked at it like, here's a second negotiation. So I think sometimes it's that mindset. So we're going back, you know, probably about 20 years. And it would be, okay, first you negotiate the purchase price, then you negotiate the home inspection. It's like they're coming in with that attitude. Whereas now, and again, I'm just talking about the little bubble of real estate that I'm in here in Central New York, a lot of the real estate professionals, we try and say, okay, here's what we know about the house based on the disclosures. The home inspection is for what we don't know. So if we know the roof is 25 years old and the inspector comes in and says the roof is in rough shape, you know, we try and educate our clients that you cannot negotiate something we already know. The home inspection's for what we don't know. Now, I can say that and I can educate my clients to that point, but if they have it in their head, my dad or my mom or my grandmother or my friend got another $10,000 off the purchase price because the home inspection, you know, they may have that mindset that I can't necessarily change. I can only educate them how I perceive it. And I know there's a lot of professionals in the industry around here that see it the same way. You negotiate what you don't already know. If the furnace is old, you don't negotiate something you know. But you have to set that expectation up in the beginning, because if you don't, then when the inspection comes around, they said, well, I would have offered less on the house had I known that I couldn't take it off at the home inspection. To me, it's an education piece. By the time it gets to Christy, you know, the education should have already happened and maybe we didn't change their mind. But I don't know. What do you see, Christy?
Normally, we just end up getting people who are saying, XYZ is wrong and I would like a credit. Usually they don't specifically say they want a credit. It's X, Y, and Z is wrong in the home inspection. Okay. Well, what are you going to do about it? Like, do you want a price reduction? Do you want a credit? Are you fine with it? Because are these things really that big a deal to you that you may blow up the deal, right? That's the caveat to every single buyer, is that just because you are unhappy with something that came in your inspection doesn't mean you get to negotiate the price down. You get 2-3 days, whatever they've put in the contract, to come up with some agreement. And if you don't have an agreement by the end of it, your seller gets to, they get to walk. So don't be a pig, is the main thing. To Shelly's point, that's an interesting thing on the, if you already knew it because the roof is 25 years old and the PCDS, that you shouldn't be renegotiating it now. That's never what happens on my end. It's always the roof is old, the furnace is going, the HVAC has to be replaced, the hot water tank basically rusted out on the bottom, you know, all these things that are already in every single market we have. Those are normally what comes up. Occasionally there'll be something big, like, you know, a deck is, the supports are failing or something like that. But nothing that probably hasn't already been seen or should have been talked about, but it's to me. So Rob's question kind of earlier, I will say not all home inspectors are created equal, just like not all real estate agents, nor all attorneys. Some of them are much better than others and people that I would trust to do them, and also agents to work with my clients. So as much as New York State regulates them, I don't know, tell me if I'm being too flippant here, Dave, but I don't, they don't really. They don't really regulate us attorneys either.
No.
And we don't even self-regulate all that well because there's like this weird attorney line where nobody tattles on anybody else. It's not good, ultimately for the clients. So, you know, you'll find that there's a lot of not great ones, right? And you don't know that you don't have a not great one till it's maybe way too late and you're in a house that you bought that your foundation's crumbling. My favorite example. So it's really tough. But, yeah, so we do see the kind of negotiation piece. I don't know that they walk in looking at it that way. I don't get that sense, but I don't see them on the front end of the negotiation. So by the time they get to me, it's just a, hey, we don't like these things. What can we do? Not anymore.
Go ahead, Dave, because I was going to flip the subject. So go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say all of that is why you end up with a curvy road to your answer. There's no straight line to it. There is always different variables that determine how that experience ends up. And again, I find myself educating those clients about, here's what we're going to look at. And remember, this isn't a booklet that you're going to print out from my digital report and go hand it to your seller and say, here's everything we found. Go ahead and fix it. It's just not how it works. And I'll even say things like, you know, when we're done with this, what you have to do is ask yourself the worst case scenario. Can I live with the information in this report? If the sellers are unwilling or unable to do anything with it, credit, fix, correct, whatever it might be, can you live with this information? If the answer is yes, then I guess you've decided that you can move forward. If it's no, you know, then again, you have an agent to negotiate any items here, but it could always end up coming back that they're not willing to do anything. And this is the information that we have today. So again, navigating a client from the real estate agent, the inspector, the attorney, it's so important that you have people that know what they're doing and guiding them properly so that there aren't any big surprises 6 months down the road. So when it comes to how do you find one, I mean, I I would say 90 plus percent of my business comes from agents and referrals. So if you read reviews and they're 5-star in 3 digits, you know, that's a sign that the guy's been around and he's got a good reputation, just like anything else you're going to purchase. I do reviews all the time when I'm purchasing something for myself, just to get a sense of what's out there. And if it's 90% bad, I'm going to steer away from that product, because you just don't have in any industry, attorneys, agents, perfect examples, wealth management people as well. I'm sure you know some bad ones. I've experienced it myself, and you got to do your homework and maybe use your gut to some degree, but educate yourself and weed out the bad, because there's bad in every industry. And unfortunately, probably more bad than good in most. That is just a reality of life, and you got to do your homework. But Shelly, back to you.
Well, I was just going to flip it a little bit, because, you know, when I threw out the topics for today, one of the things I talked about is home inspections in our current market. So let's go back to Rob's question, where do buyers have it in their head that they're going to negotiate the home inspection? So if a seller feels that a buyer is going to nickel and dime a home inspection, and they have an offer where someone waived that home inspection, you know, so maybe that offer without the home inspection is $1,000 less, but that home inspection they feel could cost them $5,000 or $10,000 or $2,000. Sometimes they'll take that less money to eliminate the possibility of getting nickel and dimed over loose knobs, things like that, right? Most sellers do want to sell a solid home. Not all sellers, but most. So they don't want to nickel and dime the knobs that you brought up, Rob. You know, but if it's a foundation, or if it's something that wasn't disclosed, like, again, a listing appointment, I tell my sellers, disclose what you know, because if it comes up in a home inspection, that could affect your bottom line. You know, so if the roof is old, put the roof is old. So when the buyer's agent comes to me and says, well, they need a new roof. No kidding. We told you that from the beginning. Like, I don't have a problem standing strong on what they should have already have known, right, from that negotiation point. But when it comes to what we didn't know, right, and the buyer comes in and says, there's a foundation issue that the home inspector found, we'd like to get a quote on it, and my sellers want to not negotiate, they want to walk away, fine, now you have to disclose it. And, you know, Christy could probably talk to that a little bit more, because that's a legal thing. But, you know, there's pros and cons to the home inspection for the buyers from a standpoint of negotiation, because once you tell a seller it's there, the seller has to disclose it. So I kind of, you know, I know I jumped around a little bit, but I want to talk about why home inspectors are getting not as much work now, and things are getting waived. And I know it's frustrating from your standpoint, Dave, because A, you are a home inspector, but B, now people are telling you after the fact what they're finding, right? So
yeah, I'm getting called in for post inspections. I'm doing that more than now. I've never done it ever. I've done multiples in the last couple months. So come on in, and we're going to keep our fingers crossed and hope you don't find anything crazy.
Yeah.
So always changing.
Yeah. But Chris, I'm going to throw that to you just real quick. Cause do you kind of agree with that? Like, as far as why sellers are hesitant because of that negotiation point of the home inspection?
Right now, yes. Obviously, pre this market, home inspections were a regular thing. Like, I would almost never see them waived unless, you know, they're like, oh no, I've been in that house like basically my entire life because it's my neighbor or something like that. And even then I'm still like, okay, well, you still don't know what happened, but fine. My favorite is, you know, my dad's pretty handy. Yeah. So he can walk me through and I'm like, oh, I'm sure in that, like, you know, 15 minute showing that he really got a good look at everything. And that's not to say that, you know, her dad's not competent or his dad's not competent. But you know, it's just not quite as in depth as a full home inspection. So you know, we, yes and no. I mean, the answer is always with me. It depends, right?
Yep.
Great.
Well, I think it's going to come back. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I think enough buyers are getting burned right now that, to Rob's daughter's point, she wanted one and she was going to hold out for a house to which she could have it. I'm not saying it's going to happen next month or the following month, but I think the stories about people getting burned are going to start hitting, you know, social media, the grapevine per se. And I think, you know, and I certainly hope so from my buyer standpoint that they can start having that advantage again.
Yeah, I almost think honestly it should be, and I would say different. My advice is different, obviously, for buyers and sellers, right? Depending on which side we're on, but just from a general protection of the entire real estate market, because this is not, you know, just a single seller who wants to make a bunch of money on their home, which is perfectly fine. I really don't I kind of feel like home inspection shouldn't be waivable. You can waive radon all day long if you want. What, that's a $2,500 system, put the pipe in, call it a day. But a home inspection is a really big deal, right? I mean, we've got like lemon laws for cars. We don't have a lemon law for real estate. You can't be like, oh, oops, this is crap. Sorry. We're going to return this right now and give all of that. But it's definitely an issue that that makes me so nervous, especially right now. But Dave, are you seeing in your post inspections a lot of things where, you know, odds are the buyer may have been like, ooh, time out. I don't think I want to do this.
Fortunately, nothing enough where they're crying in the couch going, oh my God, what do we do? But it's only a matter of time. But they do, I do come up with some things that they weren't aware of, and now they can address them and not go broke. It's that combination of items where the unknown is 20K, you know, that hasn't happened to me yet. And honestly, it's not a commonality in a home inspection. They're the big issues are not a large percentage of the time. Thank God, but they're there and it's going to happen because there's just too much waving going on. And now you got to think about it. A seller with a not great set of morals is also a great time to get out of their house. Because they can just put unknown on that whole disclosure statement, sell what they may know and know that no one's going to look at it, and make 20 extra grand in the process. So I'm sure that's happening as well.
Yeah, unfortunately. And the big thing, we've had a couple come back, not super recent, but in the past, a couple of buyers have come back about, you know, maybe a year later, and they're like, oh, there's this issue, there's that issue. Is there anything we can do? And the answer is almost always, well, really, really probably not. Because proving fraud is way too difficult.
The amount of time and money
to do that is gonna overrun your cost to repair, whatever it is. So exactly. I'm sorry. But these are people that have maybe even had home inspections and these things just weren't flagged for them. Right. So it's not great, right? Because there's no going back on anybody. And not to say that there necessarily should or shouldn't be, but trying to prove that the seller lied and knew, maybe they're a little unscrupulous in what they did, is just very not going to happen. Very difficult. Would take a lot of time.
Well, in the new salesperson class that I started teaching, we talk about misrepresentation. And from our standpoint, you know, if the seller doesn't tell us and it's not obvious, we're not liable for misrepresentation because we couldn't have known. But there are things that we're trained also to look for. And that's why it says, you know, you need to use reasonable care in looking. But if a seller went out of their way to, they knew they were going to list the house a year before they started fixing, like putting band-aids on problems, you know, to the point where to my eye, it looks good, to your eye, Dave, because, you know, again, it's an overview of the home. You're not necessarily a foundation expert. You recommend them to get somebody when something's questionable. Yeah. There's little to do to that. And it does stink when the buyer, whether it's 1 year, 2 years, 3 years later, they come across that the band-aid's coming off, right? But I like your lemon law thing, Christy. I might make a social media post about that. I'll credit it to you if I do. Because it's true, you know? And hopefully, you know, Rob, with your daughter who just bought her house, and, you know, obviously Dave did a thorough inspection, you were happy with it. I mean, things always come up. Home ownership is never, never fun. It's just a matter of, is it something that was hidden by the previous person, or was it something they fixed that just over the course of time, you know, everything needs to be updated, repaired, and gone over again. But, you know, people are not always honest, to Dave's point. Anybody have any other questions for the home inspection topic for Dave while we can pick his brain?
I kind of have a side question. It's not specifically well, words for Dave. It's for Rob, actually, because so obviously, Rob, you know that everybody's waiving right now home inspections on, to what Dave said earlier, one the largest investment that they're about to make. So we're not checking it out, right? We're not reading a prospectus on this house. We're doing none of that. We are simply walking in going, oh, I really like this for whatever reason. And then we are buying it. And people, I think we talked about it previously, are using retirement funds, like either parents are using them. I had somebody come in and tell me that, you know, they pulled money out of their IRA and that has to be back in a certain amount of time. And I was like, well, to be quite honest with you, you're not going to make that. I think it's highly unlikely you're going to make that deadline. So you're going to pay. So when people are pulling that stuff out, knowing that they aren't doing their, I guess, homework, for lack of a better term, right now, because they just can't, where does that leave you with kind of how you advise them on, okay, don't take money out of your IRA, 401k, whatever, and hope to put it back? Or, I mean, obviously you're just the advisor, so they're going to do what they want. Same thing for all of them.
No, exactly. Yeah. And you know, where does it leave me? It leaves me very frustrated. It all goes back to Dave's initial or early on comment about, you know, the home inspection. You know, the buyers are looking at it emotionally. He has to look at it without any emotion. That's what it comes down to, you know, especially first time home buyers. It's all driven by emotion. But it, you know, it's a slippery slope. I mean, it's a fine line. You know, I typically advise potential clients or current clients, I advise them, do not touch any retirement savings, regardless. It's not worth it. If that means you can't get the house, then don't get the house. You know, so if, you know, hopefully if I catch them early enough before, like I said earlier, before the process has started, I can instill some of the basics into them saying, okay, this is all we've got. You know, I don't really care what the bank says you can afford. This is the actuality of what you can afford. Yes, you can afford that, but that means no college education funding for the next 5 years, no retirement savings for the next 5 years. I don't run into that problem with my clients on the other end where they're downsizing in retirement. That's typically not an issue. You know, they're not really looking at it as an emotional buy. But I don't know, to you know, about your point there, Chris, it's a tough, you know, I've ticked off a few clients in the past and lost a few potential clients because I just stuck to my ground and said, no, you're not, I advise you not to touch this. You know, they wanted to, because they can pay it back longer than the normal loan. And well, I can take out my IRA and yeah, I only pay taxes and a penalty, but still that's worth it. And I said, no, it's not. It's costing you 50% for that money versus a mortgage of 3%. So I don't know. I mean, I wish I had the answer to that.
Well, to Christy's point, I actually have something going on, and a family member is purchasing the home. They were going to do it together with the parents' cash, right? And the child is going to buy it back. So they're going to get the mortgage, pay their parent back. Well, they want, so we have a cash transaction going on currently, and they're hoping to get the refinance or the mortgage process started. And because it does take so long to close on a regular transaction, they want to get the loan part started as well, which means a home that wasn't supposed to have an appraisal is now going to have an appraisal for the separate transaction. I love your eyes, Christy, because that's exactly. So, but I see the family standpoint of, because they probably only have that 60 days to not get penalty. So what is the penalty, I guess, is my question, Rob. If somebody doesn't hit the 60 days and they pull out, let's just say for easy math, 150,000, and they only have 60 days to get it back in. If they don't get it in 60 days, because our real estate process is taking longer than that, even refis, what's that penalty that they're looking at?
Well, if the penalty is they have to pay taxes on 100% of what they took out.
Okay.
And potentially a 10% penalty if they're not 59 and a half. Wow. So that's why I said it could cost them 50% to borrow, to use that money. I mean, that's, you know, these are taxes and you know, federal, state, and the penalty.
These are taxes at your general tax rate, right? So if we're talking, you know, I know I make $50,000 a year, but then I just took out 150 from my IRA or my 401k, whatever, and I don't get it back in enough time, then I am now in a very, very different tax bracket, right? So then exactly. I'm going to have to pay on that bumped up bracket, which is going to be a surprise for everybody, right? Because you probably took that $200,000 and you dumped it into the house. You don't have that cash. Yeah. So the tax man won't be very happy.
Yeah. And that's a good point, because people look at it and say, okay, you know, I'm making 50,000. So, no big deal. If I take money out, I'm, you know, I'm, I'm in a 15% bracket anyway, so it's no big deal. Well, the 100,000 you took out now is going to bump you up into a, you know, 31% bracket or whatever. So it's,
that's depressing. Just saying. Well, to circle this back then to one of the original things I said about Dave and the home inspection is, if you're borrowing money from a family member, you're pulling money out and you have 60 days to get it back, what cash you actually have in pocket to fix the things that would have come up in a home inspection? So if you had the home inspection, that's just another way that you can do the math and know if you can afford the home. If you don't have the home inspection, you move in. And to Dave's point, he hasn't been seeing the $20,000 fixes, but we know they're out there, right? So now you need that $20,000 plus you have to pay back the money, you know. So it really is all connected. Everybody looks at real estate like little pieces, but it's a whole big picture, and you have to look at the whole thing to know if that house is actually the right fit for you, in my opinion anyway. So,
and a lot of people, you know, a lot of the first time home buyers are buying houses, you know, they have been for a long time without enough money in the bank. You know, where they're looking at a house and there may not be any major issues, but maybe the driveway needs replacing and they don't even have $5,000 to do that. So now they're buying this house, mortgaging close to 100%, and they're saying, well, now we got to find $5,000. So they're borrowing it from somewhere. And my comment is, that means you can't afford the house right now. Right. That's the bottom line. If you don't have the cash to do the stuff you want to do, you can't afford the house.
So we need to have one of these groups where Rob tells us all this and depresses every single person on social media.
But if you think about it, it's really true, which we all know, right? Because if they're leveraged, you know, to the 100% max, right, and they can't afford to make those, not even improvements, but just maintenance / repairs, the value of their home is going to decrease, and then we're going to be underwater if we try to sell, and it's just not good, considering right now that all we get is what's actually built, right? We're not building new right now. It's just too much money. That'll, I'm guessing, will change at some point. The supply chain has to replenish itself, but till then, you know, we've got current inventory. That's all we've got. Whatever's built right now. So if it ends up in not good shape because people just can't afford to do those things, then you end up with a house that's worth a lot less because people just won't pay it when they have to do all of those things. And they're like actually visible, right? Like you can see a heaved driveway as you're walking up, right? You can see weak spots in the ceiling if you look.
House is cold because the furnace doesn't work because it's broke. And they disclosed that it was 5 years old, but it was really 25 years old. And they didn't get a home inspection.
Well, that's actually an interesting thing, Dave, right? Like, because for the normal human, right, like we don't necessarily know by look roughly how old that furnace or thing is. So they tell me it's 5 years old, and I'd be like, okay, unless there's a stamp on there that says it was inspected in 1999, I'm not necessarily going to know that when I just look at it. Yeah. So they could lie, and then what? We're still at a point where, okay, you put 5 years on the PCDS, we close though, it's for information only, even though it was 25 years old, now what? And I don't have $4,000, and I definitely don't have the money to sue you. So I'm left with, they may have closed over it anyway, but they would have at least known that, oh, FYI, that's probably going to fail really soon. Yeah. It's just not good.
Well, and the other thing I tell first-time homebuyers, especially, you know, in a report that's very detailed, and I've had people who say, you know, they're going to sell their home 15 years later and they still have that home inspection they did when they purchased it because it is an informational tool about the home. So first time home buyers, there was one, she recently bought a house, same thing. She was losing in her offers because she wanted that home inspection. And I said, eventually, just like Rob's daughter, a house is going to come up. You can have your home inspection. And she did. It was a beautiful inspection. I mean, we're talking fire smoke detectors were an issue, and a gas whatever that line is, Dave, it comes up all the time, going for grounding the hot water tank or something.
CSST.
Yeah, that, I mean, so you're talking two things that showed up on that report, but now she has information about the home, and that was what she really wanted because she's never had a home on her own. She's buying it by herself, and she has information to reflect back on, and she has a contact person with that report who said, call him anytime, even if it's a month, 6 months, he's not going to remember a year from now, but if it's something written there that needs explained, he's like, he could feel the nervousness coming off of her and said, don't hesitate to call off. It was a peace of mind for her is what that, whether it was $500 or $650 she paid for, that was completely worth it for her peace of mind in buying that home.
Sure.
Hey, Dave, are you guys letting buyers go with you to home inspections and walk through?
That's a really good question. You talk about standards of practice and ways we were trained, and I guess they're still doing it. I was trained to bring the client with you. You show up at 9, the client shows up at 9, and you go put on a show for 3 hours and educate people as you go along. And I did it that way for years. Then one day I woke up and started to question, why am I doing it this way? Because they want to ask me questions about something that I'm not focusing on at that point. I'll get to that, and I don't want to be the mean inspector who would answer questions, but I'm trying to focus. And the best way to do that is to be left alone. So I don't bring clients with me through the inspection, but I really, really strongly urge them to come at the end so that we can review what I found. I don't want them wandering off into the master bedroom and finding a safe and grabbing some jewels or cash, because I don't know them. And there's stories about that we could probably speak off camera about. Or climbing, following me up the roof, you know, I'm like, no, there's a safety issue, get down. Or don't put your hand in the electrical panel as I'm trying to look at wiring, because they do, what's this? And I immediately, you know, push them back. It's just too many things can go wrong and you can get distracted and miss something. So I have them come at the end, but a lot of guys still put on the show, bring them with them through that whole thing. I don't do it. I won't. If a client requires that, they're going to have to hire somebody else, because it's a detriment to both of us. Mm-hmm. And I explain it that way, and 99% of the time they understand it.
Yeah. And that's fair. My concern comes with that a lot. So there are inspectors obviously that do it. They stopped during COVID, which is fine. But really that the kind of information and questions, and do you walk them back through the house once they come in? If you're like, this is an issue, that's an issue. So they can.
Yeah, absolutely. When I'm done, they're there. We sit down, we review my report, my summary, everything right at the table first. And then we get up and look at anything that might stand out that they're concerned or want to see firsthand, and spend as much time as they need getting questions answered and seeing things firsthand. But again, it doesn't always go that way. Sometimes I'm doing a house for a client that lives in California and we have to do a conference like this. So every situation is different, but ideally, sitting down with me and going through it step by step really helps them filter through that report, understand what's what, and not be left with, I don't really understand, because I'm giving you multiple times to make clarity on anything that is kind of vague. So if that's all done all the time, you should have less of the issues that you come across when, I think earlier somebody said, I didn't really understand this, what's important, what isn't. Inspectors educating, then that's going to come out, and they can, even if they make just a little punch list on things that they have of major concern, it's explained. So just hand you the report, you're going to be overwhelmed and you're not going to know how to decide where to start, what to do.
And that's, I can vouch for that, because for my daughter and her fiance, that's exactly what Dave did. You know, they showed up after the inspection was done. Dave sat down for a couple, I don't know, probably an hour, 90 minutes, went through the report, went through the house. My daughter said, wanted me to show up. And I said, well, I'm not going to show up until everything is done, because he knows a heck of a lot more than I do. And they loved it. I mean, they loved the fact that Dave took the time. And I know there's a lot of inspectors that don't do that. And that's the same with any profession. And the one thing I advise people I talk to about really anything, not just the real estate, is I always advise them, let the professionals do their job. You gave a list of what you needed to the realtor, what you wanted, let him or her find the house, And that's the way I feel about the attorney, the inspector, mortgage, insurance, everything, all the people we've talked to here and anything. I just tell my clients, you've chosen the professional you're happy with, let them do the job. I know it's tough, but let them do their job and don't look over their shoulder.
Don't bring Uncle Joe, who knows everything about electricity. He's gonna tell me what's right and what's not. I love that when you grandpa comes and he's been a contractor for 30 years. And I welcome it, as long as it's at the end and you can challenge me and we can do whatever we got to do. But most times they walk away going, that was good. Okay, great. What do we do next?
Now, Dave, quick question for you. Is there any type of apprenticeship that has to be for home inspector? Like, you know, like a home appraiser has to, I don't know if apprenticeship is the right word, but has to work with someone before they go out on their own.
Yeah, there is now. Again, 18, 19 years ago, the requirements weren't in place. But now that the state finally has, you know, established themselves, and part of the training process does require, and I'm not sure if it's 100 hours, 40, I don't know the number of hours, but yeah, they have to go with somebody on live inspections for X number of hours, as well as their testing and
Okay.
Which I get calls for every now and then. And just like bringing a client with me through the inspection, I don't want to deal with, I have done it, but I don't really enjoy, you know, playing teacher while I'm trying to do my job. So I've just passed on having someone come with me. I mean, it's another income source for sure, but not something I'm really interested in. So, but yeah, they do. They have to be with a licensed inspector for so many hours.
Okay.
Good question.
Anything else for Dave? No. Well, Dave, this was super informative. I'm always amazed that when somebody in our group picks the topic, the different questions that come up and the information that comes out of it. But home inspections are huge. I'm kind of with Christy. I almost wish they couldn't be waived, because if they were mandated, then it wouldn't be a source of negotiation. It would just be part of that that transaction. But
yeah, and I wouldn't be home today.
Well, in that case, I'm glad you did not have an inspection today.
Yeah. It's nice though. I don't mind. I got things to do.
Well, thank you everybody for your time again, and for all the great information. Everybody enjoy the sunshine while we have it.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you. Very, very
cool. Bye-bye.
That's it for this week's episode of Real Estate I Love It. Be sure to subscribe and leave a review on whatever stream platform you're using for your podcast. See you next time.